This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, welcome to the Christian War Room and another talk here in the Christian War Room, which I think is quite important in the light of what is happening at the moment. The news is coming through that Europe, and we're talking May 2018, that Europe has got a new data protection law, and that when you sort of analyze what is written in the law and the way the European Parliament works is they come up with some ideas, so they're all concocted in some little room. On the surface, the law looks really good. I'm not sure how many pages I've heard, 180 pages, but I heard the figure. And I still remember this very good from the talk. It's about 50,000 words in this document about this law, about data protection, which has to be assimilated into national law by the European Parliament. And basically what this law is, it is a muzzle for alternative news media. Okay, on the surface, the law is all about the data of an individual. So if I, as a private person, I'm a little bit worried about the data that's held by a company about me, and I can go to the company and I can say, look, you know, what data have you got across? What data have you got about me? Please give me all the data you've got about me, and then the next thing is I can insist that the data is going to be corrected, and then I can. If it's not happening, if it's not taking place, I can then take action against it. But it goes even further. The government automatically is going to take action against people who are not complying with this new regulation. Okay, so how does it look like, this new regulation? And it sounds a bit like Orwellian, you know, the brave new world. So first of all, it sounds really good, you know. The data is mine. Anything that is to do with me and the data which is held by any company, I have got any right in the world to do this. Okay. It goes further, you know. When you go through, and this is just like one little bit about the data, and that's a positive bit, maybe to some extent. I mean, I find that, I don't know what it's like for you. I've got a mobile phone number, which is in our phone book. But sometimes you install an app and this number becomes known, and then the data is sold to some companies in India. And within a short time, you find out that people are phoning you up and they are selling you services, or they are trying to pretend they know something about you. And so every day you get a couple of phone calls which are unsolicited, and you have to deal with these people who try to con you, scam you, sell you something which you're not really interested in, and you have to deal with this on a daily basis. And that's all down to data being collected about you, being abused, and being sold on to some other organizations. And basically what Europe is saying, we don't want this anymore, we have to do something about this. And that is all very positive and very, very good. Okay, now here's the shadow side. It's a document that's 50,000 words long. 50,000 words, yeah. And the stuff I've just been telling you, you know, you could maybe sum it up in less than 100 words, yeah, in legislation. Okay, what else is in there? So, for example, if you publish a photo, you do some holiday spots, yeah, and you have got a Facebook page, and you put a photo up on Facebook, what is the new law saying? And the new law says that you have to get the permission of each and every one of the photo which you are publishing. And okay, you might make an argument and you might say, yeah, people snapping photos all the time, I don't want them to stick my photo on the internet or whatever. I find, for example, that you know, people are filming pretty much everything, and it's so easy now. You've got your smartphone, you go somewhere, you film something. Now you have to expect to be, you know, ending up on some YouTube channel or whatever, yeah. Or you do an interview, and you agree to the interview, and at that point you may end up, you know, even if you're just a bystander on somebody's film. No, what they're saying now is that every private person has to have the permission of everybody on a photo before it can be published in the internet. And that's European law, is to be ingrained into European law. If you haven't got the permission of that person, you then have to reckon or expect penalties if it ever, you know, comes up or somebody complains or whatever. So suddenly the law is going to be very, very restrictive. So that means you have to be very careful about the photos you take and probably have like a piece of paper on you with the permission of each and every person that may happen to be on the photo, even if it's just by chance or accidentally, to then be able to stick it on the web. So the answer is you can't do this anymore. You can't put anything on the web. Goes further. If you talk about somebody, you have to have the permission of that person to publicize this. So, for example, if somebody makes a statement, and we've got public figures who make statements, and you want to comment on it, you're not allowed to make these comments without the written permission. If you do this, there are draconian penalties which are tied up with that. Now, realistically, probably not. You know, you have your holiday snaps and you put them on Flickr or whatever. Nothing is going to happen, but suddenly there is a law which pretty much everybody has broken. You know, everybody who's got a smartphone, and if they ever wanted to do something to you, they could just, you know, take your smartphone, find out whether you've got permission, and good chances are you don't have permission, and at that point they can fine you and slap a criminal charge on you. And you end up in prison and you are taken out of circulation. So this is like the extreme scenario. Where does this leave us as Christians? And it's a real problem because we have had a golden opportunity where we could reach out to people we otherwise might not be able to reach. Through the internet, through Facebook, through YouTube, through web pages. And again, we could pick up on certain subjects. We could comment on them. We could do a little blog. We could have photos in there to make it interesting. And there's like a whole variety of stuff we could do to try and reach out and to let people know about the gospel in Jesus Christ. Now, this is all going to be taken away from us. The only people who can still take photos is the institutionalized press. That's pretty much mentioned there. They can take photos without permission. They don't have to get permission for anybody. The alternative press is screwed. You take a photo, you take a newsworthy article, and you don't have the permission, and you are whatever is the institutionalized press, whatever is the alternative. It's probably very hard to describe, but you haven't got the express permission. You are in trouble, and this is what is happening at the moment. So, what do we need to do as Christians? And it's a big question. The Bible talks about us that we should be, you know, as cunning as snakes, but without faults as doves. And we have to think about how can we still push the gospel and protect ourselves from prosecution. It's very, very difficult. And I think one of the way the times are sort of going ahead is that probably we have to start looking at ways and means to anonymize our internet presence. And it's, again, it's very, very difficult. It's a bit like you know, people used to think when they're on the phone, it's pretty much private. And it took them a long time to realize that even on a wired phone, it's very easy to listen to somebody and to wiretap. Then mobile phones came out and people thought, yeah, it's the same as a wired phone. And then suddenly they realized as the analog mobile phones came out that anybody with a scanner can listen to them and can find out what people are saying. Then it gets a little bit more difficult. So we've got, GMS phones, and even though there's a software called GMS Catcher, it's still possible, but it's a lot more difficult than what it was before if you really wanted to listen into phone calls which are going through the air. A lot more difficult, but it's still possible. And again, the big ears now, when we look at the internet, is the people have the same idea. They're stuck behind a computer. They think they cannot be traced down. They can pretty much do what they want. But any activity you do on your computer tends to leave a trace on your computer. And if you don't know what you're doing and you don't delete stuff using military-grade software, the traces can still be forensically taken off your computer and it can still be reconstructed of pretty much anything you've been doing on the computer for a long period of time. So you have to be very, very careful in that. And the other thing is that there's a big giveaway, which is your IP address, which will allow anybody to trace back to where you are from. Now, as Christians, we have to grow wise now, because anything we say, anything we do on the internet, especially if it's in Europe, can be scrutinized and can be used against you. And as we are sort of moving slowly into some sort of police state mentality where the powers to be don't like little people like you and me to discuss things, to undermine what they are saying, to have an alternative view of the reality around us, and for them to be showing up. And so they created, seemingly, a legislation that is going to muzzle you very, very easily. So, again, what can we do? What can we do legally to avoid detection and to still be able to express free opinions? Again, one option is to anonymize your traffic, to use high levels of encryption, not from common vendors like Microsoft or others, but to look at possibly open source stuff or smaller vendors, and to then use computers in countries where this restrictive legislation doesn't exist. And then there we can upload the stuff, or we can create websites, or we can do what we want to try and protect ourselves and to still use our free speech, our right to free speech. Would I go as far and say free speech is a God-given right? I'm not sure, but one thing is for certain, that that we have been charged to preach the gospel to all nations. And as those restrictions are kicking in more and more and more, because we are considered to be bigots, we are considered to be hate mongers, we are considered to be intolerant because we are not accepting other religions as a representation of the truth. We are not going along with the secular agenda, which says that anything goes and anything has to be respected and accepted, but we are sticking with the truth. And it's our job to preach the truth and to make sure that people know about the truth. Again, I just want to prepare you as a body of Christ and as Christians, and we are talking about the Christian War Room, and we can see that with this legislation that is being pushed through in Europe, that this is a war against freedom of speech and against our right to share the gospel with the lost using the internet as one viable medium. So we need to find ways to protect ourselves. Okay, one lesson we can learn is, I was looking at a Coptic priest, and his name, I'm just trying to think of his name. Boutros, I think. His name was Boutros, and then something else. But anyway, he's a Coptic priest and an Arab speaker. He knows the Islam inside out. And he speaks a lot against it. He highlights the inconsistencies within Islam and then tries to lead people to an understanding of the Bible and an understanding of the gospel. Now, this man has been headhunted, and I'm not talking about somebody wanting to give him a lot of money for a good job, but I'm talking about somebody really wanting his head on a plate. And there's been a reward placed on his head, and he has to live in the underground. He's still making his programs because that is what he feels God has called him to do. His brother got already murdered through some jihadis who thought that he needed to go. And so they're after him now. But he carries on, and he carries on preaching the gospel, and he carries on preaching the truth. And he has to live a life of being clandestine, being hidden, and being you know, inaccessible. And that's maybe something, you know, as Christians in the West, we should slowly be looking into. What can we do to try and anonymize ourselves? Because we've got a clear charge to preach the gospel, to highlight the truth, and to let people know about Jesus Christ, and also to warn people of false religions and of false concepts. And again, in doing so, leading them to the truth. Okay, it goes further as well, and I've heard this in Canada. This is through Canadian president or Canadian chancellor. I'm not quite sure how the system works over there. And Trudeau, a good old Trudeau. So he wants to make Islamophobia illegal and a crime punishable. I'm not quite sure how draconian the punishments are going to be, but that was in the offing. So this is what he wanted to do. I'm not sure whether they go through with that, but if you stand up and you say anything against Islam, then you are liable to be punished. Now, one thing I don't understand is how can you make it punishable to have a phobia? I mean, a lot of Muslims, they've got a phobia against Christians. Don't know what you want to call it, Christianophobia. And they make this known as well. And some of them even retreat to violence to make, you know, to vent their anger against Christianity and possibly even secularism. Secular phobia, is there something like that as well? But anyway, there was something like Islamophobia meant to be a crime in Canada. And the problem is, and one thing which is totally legitimate is a critical analysis and scrutiny of any religion and anything anybody says. And as soon as you come up with hate speech laws, what you're doing is stifle, number one, academic discussion of maybe a religion, maybe a concept, maybe a philosophy. Number two is you take away the freedom of speech and you do not allow people to engage in dialogue, which, again, there's nothing wrong with that. I am not afraid of anybody challenging my Christian faith, and it's perfectly okay. People can come to me and they can tell me that I'm an idiot because I don't believe in the theory of evolution. They can come to me and they can say that I'm an idiot because I've got this, you know, so-called imaginary friend in the sky. I know he's not imaginary, he's real. They can't see it and they don't want to see this, but that's okay. That's okay. They can be Christian phobe, and I accept this. And I've had in the past people, you know, friends, so, you know, when they found out that I was a Christian, they wouldn't touch me like with a barge pole. They were really upset about who I was and what I was doing and what I was standing for. And they obviously had a phobia, you know, towards Christianity. I once put up a Christian bookstall on a secular market, and I forgot to get the labels to let people know what this is all about. So I had tons of books, and it was quite interesting as well. Some people, they went near the stall and they realized it's all Christian, and it was like they were hit with lightning. They just moved away from the stall and they didn't want to touch it, like I was selling poison or something. Again, it's very, very strange, you know, what you find out there in this world and the ideas people come up with and the ways they try to limit our right to free speech as Christians and to protect some groups which ultimately will most likely turn against them and try and force them to accept their view of life or suffer discrimination in no uncertain terms. And we can see this in a lot of Islamic countries. We can see this in Egypt, where Christians really have a hard time. And that is something we need to be aware of. Okay, what is the strategy? What can we do? The first strategy we need to apply is to look at what can we do to try to avoid detection. That people don't know that it's us that's posting, for example, a Christian video. Now, especially if once persecution kicks in, what can we do? So we can still preach the gospel without being traced down or tracked down. And there are lots of ways of doing this, and One of them is called VPNs, virtual private networks. Sometimes it's necessary to, you know, access servers abroad. There's one thing in Germany. Germany, they had the thing, if you did anything on the internet, you were liable for that. So if somebody used your internet connection and they used it for criminal activities in any shape or form, and they could trace you down, you would become liable for it as the person who leases the internet connection. Interesting as well, not the internet service provider, the ISP, but you as a private person. Okay. So a couple of guys in my hometown, they thought about this, and they wanted to open up the internet freely to anybody in Paderborn. So to have a network, you know, a Wi-Fi network, if any visitor comes to Paderborn, my hometown, they can just go through the town and they can roam around, get internet access, and it's free. And it was just sort of this whole idea of freedom, you know, free data. And what they did is they there was a group, they got together, they tried to work on a solution for this, and it belongs, you know, it needs a lot of volunteers. So they came up with a router, and this router would share some of your internet connection, maybe a couple of kilobytes or a couple of hundred kilobytes, maybe a megabit, not kilobytes but kilobits, maybe a megabit, whatever you choose to give to the public. And then this wireless router would be set up somewhere in your house. And so people on the street could then access it. And then any traffic going through this router would be routed through, would be first of all anonymized and then routed through a service outside Germany. And I'm not sure whether it was in Holland or some other country, but a country where you could have anonymous data. And so if anybody did anything illegal, it could not be traced back to you, and therefore you could not be held responsible for that. And that was meant to, you know, provide some sort of freedom. Now, as Christians, we need to look at similar systems, you know, of ways where we can maybe connect to a server in some country where freedom is still available. And it might be even as bizarre to go to China or to, you know, some Caribbean country or maybe some country in South America, you know, who knows, a country where we've still got some freedom. And as long as that is possible, to do it, and so that we cannot be traced back, so that whatever we place on the web to preach the gospel, to engage in discussion, to highlight problems with certain theological concepts, and in order to avoid the fear of prosecution, we have to go down this route. And this is something which I think we should slowly look into. I know about one Christian guy. And he had a boat, and he bought a boat with the intent that when things go downhill, and when we sort of head towards the end, that he could just go on the boat, set up his own transmitter, and start broadcasting from international waters into the United States. And that was one of the ambitions he had. I'm not quite sure where it is today. It's quite some time ago, but it's interesting, you know, the extent people go through. And maybe there's something we can do as well in this era or in this area where we can use and facilitate, you know, broadcasts to bypass internet censorship and to bypass anything to do with that. To give you some ideas, we've got satellite radio, which we can use. And again, it heavily depends on governments, what they allow to go through. There's still shortwave radio as well, even though it's a little bit of a dying medium. But people are still using it, and especially should there be emergencies and should there be more restrictions on the media, that shortwave might once again become a very interesting medium to propagate an alternative view to the view which is presented by the mainstream media. And who knows, maybe people will go back to listening to shortwave instead. What else can we do? Again, we can maybe set up our own. I once heard a guy talking about this, and what's his first name? It's Cicolanti, famous preacher on YouTube, did a lot of prophetic stuff, and he was talking about, you know, just getting away from all the big guys like Facebook and Google, and which includes YouTube as well, and Microsoft and to sort of go and set up our own Christian infrastructure where we can launch our own material and where we don't have to fear to be, you know, for videos to be taken down and where we don't have to fear of channels, Christian channels to be shut down and where search engines are not, you know, ignoring us, but to just create our own infrastructure, our own search engine, our own server farms, our own, you know, YouTube infrastructure, our own sermon index, and so on. And there may be something to it as well, and it might be time to look at setting up websites abroad where you can store sermons which are relevant and important and good for the Christian life, and also necessary for people to walk on in Christ and to set it all up in a country that is still fairly open-minded and less restrictive as we may find it in Europe. In California, there's been a law pushed through where, which could result in the Bible being outlawed. You know, the Bible, and it's all to do with the gay agenda again, so they seem to be the biggest thorn in the side in these days, but the Bible, Paul talks about, you know, homosexuals, that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And in Corinthians, he says that some of you were this. Yeah. So basically, he makes a point that, you know, you can abandon your lifestyle, your homosexual lifestyle. And anyway, California, the law has come through and it's been passed in the on the first level. And it still needs to go somewhere, from what I understand. But it may not take too long. And this law pretty much says that if anybody takes, what's it called? It's like a conversion therapy. So that, you know, if somebody's homosexual and has got these inclinations, that he will try to, you know, to go back to a normal lifestyle, to be heterosexual. If anybody tries to do this and provide the therapy of trying to guide people and help people to embark on this journey, it's now outlawed in California because science apparently said it's not possible and it's not right. You know, people should be encouraged to live out, you know, their sexual life and fantasies the way they want to, but they shouldn't be encouraged to modify it to a traditional way. Yeah, any book, anything, any therapy which is advertised and people pay for, therefore is outlawed, and it cannot be cannot be given to the people, and people can be punished for this. And this is what Californian law says. And at this point, we find that there is a big problem, because ultimately this could outlaw the Bible. If you sell the Bible to somebody, you can do it for free. That's not a problem. So the freedom of speech thing is not affected, but you can't charge money for it. So if you've got a book that talks about this, again, you're going to get fined. If you buy a Bible and the Bible pretty much suggests the same thing, to an extreme, people could be fined for selling a Bible. So it's just really, really bizarre. We are living in a very strange world. And we find that our rights, our freedoms are getting restricted more and more by the day. And we need to find ways to circumvent this whole thing. This is a Christian war room. And I want to encourage you to just take this on board and to think about this and to share this with the Christian community and to find ways to preach the gospel. This is our task. This is our commission. This is what Jesus left with us when he ascended into heaven. Okay, thank you for listening. God bless. And you're listening to the Christian war room. Bye-bye.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.